Reverend King, Chapter 19. The Book of Numbers, please, Chapter 19, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, not to bring thee a red heifer without spot. For it is no blemish, and upon which never shame look. And ye shall give it unto the leader of the priest, that they may bring her forth without the cap. And one shot they are before his face. And then either the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 days. And one shall burn the heifer in sight, her skin, and her flesh, and her blood, for the young shall be born. And the priest shall take cedarwood, and hyssop, and scarlet, and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean after the eating. He that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. And the man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. And he shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel, for a water of separation is a purification for him. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean unto the evening. And he shall be unto the children of Israel, and unto the stranger that shall journeyeth among them, for a statute forever. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself on the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead, and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean, his uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law when a man dieth in a tent. All that cometh into the tent, and all that is in the tent, shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. Whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open field, or a dead body, or the bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water, and shall be put thereto in a vessel. And the clean person shall take it, and dip it in the water, and sprinkle it upon the tent, and upon all the vessels, and upon the person that was there, and upon him that touched the bone of one slain, or one dead, or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day will be purified himself, and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at evening. But the man that shall be unclean, and shall not, he refuses, he deliberately refuses to purify himself, that soul shall be cut off by death. Put him off. Because he's unclean? No. Because he refused to cleanse himself. That principle of the New Testament from among the congregation. Because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation has not been sprinkled upon him. He's unclean. It shall be a perpetual spotting on his head. But he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes. And he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean unto evening. And whatsoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean. And the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean unto evening. God bless his holy word for Jesus' sake.
Another motor car seems to be the move. Number 9278 DZ. Number 9278
DZ. The owner. Those of you who are familiar with numbers 19, my brethren, will not be so unreasonable as to expect me to go through the whole chapter in one meeting or one conference. And I would consider it downright bad manners for me to occupy the rest of the time going into the details of Numbers 19, and I'm not going to do it. Why then did you read the whole chapter? For the sake of young believers, and maybe some old ones, who have not been familiar with the chapter. You've read it occasionally, of course, in your usual reading. You saw nothing in it. Don't just have a look there. If you didn't see it, that wasn't the fault of the chapter. That was your own fault entirely. I've read enough, my brethren, to keep me preaching for a week, I'm speaking carefully, if I went into the details of chapter and proved my Old Testament mark from New Testament scriptures, which a teacher should always do. If I teach God's people from the Old Testament, I should prove my mark with New Testament truth. We are not Old Testament scriptures, and we're glad we're not. We are New Testament scriptures, living in the dispensation of the God, of the grace of God, and belonging to the Church of God, which Israel never was and never will be. Therefore I say again, that if I teach God's dear people from the Old Testament, if I'm a sound teacher, I should prove my remarks with New Testament scriptures, and if possible, give the dear people chapter and verse for what I say. I'm going to emphasize three things from Numbers chapter 19. I do sincerely hope that I won't be lost. Again, before I go any further, please say, I have not got a sore throat. No. There's nothing wrong with my throat, if at all. And my voice left me 36,000 feet up in the air, and it just comes back from every place. And this medicine would have cured it. Well, I certainly would have cured it before I left Vancouver. But all the medicine in the world is no use to it. It's just the voice, not the throat. The three things that I'm going to emphasize, my brethren, is the unclean person. Then the unclean temple. Then the unclean sanctuary. And before emphasizing those things, there are a few things that I must say to lead up to that. Again, please remember, I'm here to try and help young believers. We'll notice, if you please, the word unclean occurs 20 times, something wrong here. 20 times unclean. God cannot use what's unclean. God will not use what's unclean. And there's no need for you and I to be unclean. If we get the fine, or rather, since we get the fine, so you couldn't live without getting the fine. And you can't go home from this conference to your home without getting your soul defiled by some foul-mouthed man or woman, or by some of these scarecrows that you see in those big draper shop windows in the center of a city. You get your soul defiled. And brethren and sisters in Christ, farewell to fellowship with God, and farewell to enjoying a holy scripture. But I know that my soul is defiled, and I don't see how to get a key. Numbers 19 has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the defilement. These people did were settled from the left the land of Egypt under the shelter of the blood of the Lamb. Until we come down to near the end of the chapter, and you notice I emphasize that man has to be cut off. Now that's guilt. That's not guilt on account of the defilement. That's guilt on account of the past. That this stubborn, secret man refused to accept God's remedy for the defilement. Cut him off! Cut him off! By death from the congregation of Israel. Now to somebody in a tight place. Well, watch me get out of it. Is that in the New Testament? Most excitedly it is. I quoted 6 or 7 scriptures a quote. I'm a quote this scripture in the New Testament for the premature death of a believer. Moses never finished his course. Neither did Adam. The grace of God gives us liberty. It doesn't give us license. 1 John 5:16. If you see your brother sinner sin unto death, how do you not say he's a pray for it? Why he's going to die? Then you get that supported by for you for scripture in the New Testament. And that is John 15:3. 1 Kings 11. Oxide. I won't quote you any Old Testament scriptures. It would be quite easy to do it. I've quoted enough to come straight here from my remark. But the truth of the cutting off of a man in the Old Testament times, because he deliberately, the fruit of the cleansing, is the same in the New Testament for the people of God. Then do you mean to say by that, it's not what I mean, it's what God said? Do you suggest it's not what I suggest? God said he shall be cut off, and he shall die a promise of death, and he shall be a promise of grace. And I've quoted these whole scriptures already to prove that. I'll go to the wash and not be wailed on the platform. I don't intend to follow that remark. I've quoted enough to prove to you, if you wish it to be proved to you already. And if you don't wish it to be proved, well, I've no time to spend it. We're often asked why is the hassle great. You'd all like to know that, wouldn't you? Sure, so would I. But I'm going to make 3 suggestions to you. And the first thing, the heifer, which undoubtedly represents Christ, was without spot, externally, without blemish, internally, and from which come never came good. That's the Christ. He was without spot, externally, without blemish, internally, never bore the yoke of anybody or anything, only the yoke of his loving heavenly Father. And the man who has the slightest doubt in this object about the eternal deity and heavenly divine perfection of the Son of God, I have to tell you, you're a sinner in your sins and you're going to hell. You have never been born again, even though you may have been in one of God's assemblies. And if you get died in the baptistry, you're going to hell before they got you out. Who cares about that? Don't forget, I emphasize the essential and eternal deity, and our English word deity comes from Zerah, which means God off. Then, the first scripture I quote to you is the color of our skin, Isaiah 1:18. It's going to be red. It's the color of our skin, our burning skin, the bit of sightless to the lower tail, red. It's the color of the precious blood of Christ. That not only purchased our redemption when he shed it on the cross, it did do that, but it extended it from defilement on the road home to heaven. It's the blood of Christ for that, not the blood on the cross, the blood on the cross, Hebrews 9. He entered in by his own blood. Again, I'm trying to help young believers, not trying to help great fellows. Then, notice it's not only the color of our sins, and the colour of the blood that cleanseth us from all the sediment of sin, but in the colour of the judgment of God. For then you get to Psalm, who is this that cometh up from Bozrah with thy garments from Bozrah, whose garments are red, whose judgment is around you and I, of the awful judgment of vengeance of God that's going to fall on this godless world, build fast in prison in the day of his righteous anger. That's why I suggest, Luther, I suggest, that's why it's red. Why is it heather? It speaks of youth. It speaks of strength. It speaks of endurance. It speaks of the Christ who endured such grand conviction of sinners against himself. Those are what preachers call preliminary remarks. You can call it whatever you like. Before we look at the unclean man and the unclean tent and the unclean tabernacle or sanctuary, it's exactly the same. Notice, if you please, what makes them unclean. Did they murder anybody? No. Did they use bad language? No. Did they get drunk? No. What happened? The chapter tells you, one man kicked the bowl. And he's unclean. That's from him. God said it. And that ended. Don't give God any back talk. Who said it on TV? It's unclean. And you prepare to talk about God and unreasonable. For the one who has been in heaven. God said it. Let that end. But some will say, they didn't know the bone was it. God said it not clean. Somebody else today couldn't help it. God said it not clean. Let that end. It's irreverent to talk like that. And again, he's another man and he walks over the gate. He didn't know the grave was actually not free. Why? The things all covered with grass. It's not true. Brother, from God said that thing. Let that end it. And ask your question about it. From tree. First thing is, a man or a woman goes into a tent. It's a bit warm here, brother. And I have too many coats on there. Maybe as many coats of a time foot. A man goes into a tent. His object's quite good. He's going to help those dear people. But maybe there's somebody sick there. Maybe they haven't got money. He's going to help them. Somebody dies. He and all innocents on clean God said it. Let them end it. But a man is a good object. He's granted. The man's heart was granted. The man means to help his people, granted. But he's not seen. He couldn't help the unseen. Let that end. And he has to be cleansed by the water of purification. The ashes of a heifer. And the heifer will have no value until he's dead. And bone to ashes. Then it's a little operation. Not that. So a man gets clean. A woman gets clean. A whole household sets on clean. And each and every one of them must be cleansed and cleansed according to God's will. The water, the clean water, and the ashes of the heifer mixed together and sprinkled on the unclean by a clean man. And when the clean man sprinkled the unclean, the clean man became unclean in the Bible. Let it be read. One would do it. One thought to do it only the keep it as that. One would to do it. You see, brethren, I'm emphasizing again, and keep it as simple as possible, for to help the young believer, not only in these matters, but to read what they might think difficult chapters of the blessed book of God. You have a Bible before you, thank God for it. You need to thank your neighbors for it, for that born both you and your Bible. And because there's no spineless compromise here. It's either the truth of God or let it go. You intention to let me go. You will make me feel better. The word unclean 25, that's the mark of it. It shows you how easy it takes to get a title. What about the house party? Do you want to make misers and monks out of it? No. I want to make what God wants you to be, sober, sensible men and women, both in private and in public. I'll not use any descriptive adjectives. I was shocked at a preacher in one of the countries I've been to last. I'll not tell you what country, so you're not luckily finding of in four different countries. And they were talking about being in heaven. And this man, a preacher, mind you, preachers should be an example to the people of God. Overseers should be an example to the flock. I should be an example to the people of God. And in the home, and among many others, I'm not, and I'm not consistent. And this man got in behind the door. And he stepped down. And he said, I'll be thankful if I get inside the door. Brother, that's a very low standard of Christianity. God wants you and I to do better than that. And he wants to give you, as we've already heard, a crown. We have to earn the crown. And we have to earn our position in the kingdom of heaven. Though the blood of Christ is get us in it, we must get us a position there. We have to earn that. As most of you know, 1 Corinthians 4, Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 10. When the clean man pushed the unclean on the third day, then the unclean man was clean on the seventh day. And if he wasn't sprinkled on the third day, he wasn't taught to him on the seventh day. Heaven, heaven, I'm trying to impress upon you and my own heart the possibility of living a life of defilement, never enjoying the Holy Scripture, never enjoying speaking to your Heavenly Father in prayer. You are not a good parent. You are not a good neighbor. You are not much help to God defend you. You define the thing, as you have seen before we finish. I hope. I'm not speaking about this. But we settle at the cross forever. Just as these people in Numbers 19 who settled on the left the land of Egypt in the power of the blood of the Lamb at his head. But in Genesis we went down. In Exodus we went out. Redemption. In Leviticus we went in. Then into worship. In Numbers we go on. In Deuteronomy, go home. I'm going to say that again. Again, for the sake of you, old people. In the book of Numbers, in the book of Genesis, we went down. No matter about a lot of old, spiritually blind theologians that talk to never look off. And if we fell, it's all we fell upward. A pack of trash. We don't expect blind people to see, my brethren. And we don't expect dead people to know. No, no, maybe. We can say whatever you like to call it. Then he went down, not at all. The next day he went out. And he went out by blood and God is bound them up. That doesn't believe in the blood of Christ. They can go where your actions run. They can debate about an archbishop or a dean in a town or a monk or a nun or a friar or an abbot or a best or a parson or a pastor. Haven't you never been? There's no room in heaven for the man that despises the blood of Christ. God is damn that man. As plain as I can put it. That's 16. 16. And look in Numbers, in Leviticus, we do it, chapter 16, brother. And we go in for the worship. And we go in with the blood. But there must be redemption first. And the promise be worship. And there's a redemption first. And to speak about public worship is a part of humbug. Only fit for the right man's back. You have to be called again. Do it in worship. Then, we went to worship, Leviticus 16. And in the book of Numbers where I am now, the blood's not for going out. It's not for going in. It's for going out. Now we're back at Hebrews 6. As somebody referred to this afternoon already, let me go on. I'm going to stop for a little while. Not for the draw my breath, but I'll let you draw you in. And this will agree with us, I think, both my brother and him, as we go along. I'm speaking justly but kindly to you, my dear brethren and sisters in Christ. As we go along, no, don't go along. There's no such thing as standing safe in the things of God. Listen, my dear brother, do you read the Holy Scripture? In the home, with the wife, 1 Peter 3:7, 1 Corinthians 7? You don't, you're not doing it here. Oh, she won't read with me. Very good then. Go back to 1 Peter 3:7. There's something there ought not to be. That the prayer be not taken. That's a man's wife. Do you pray with your wife? Do you preachers pray with your wife? If you've got one? Do you pray with your husband? No, they ought to. And that's mainly different. That is the stabilizing effect on the family. And that's an objective. And expect the children to go wherever they are. Beautifully. Are you going on? Do you know any more not needing knowledge of the Bible? You can have that and be an infidel. For I have a New Testament translation and it is translated by a very clever child of a devil. And you don't know that with James Moffat. No. I'm asking you, I enjoy in whole fellowship with God now than ever you did before. If not, why not?
The way is open. The Christ on the throne living for you and me, not for sinners. He's not on the throne for sinners. He can do nothing more for sinners than what he had to do. He did it all on the cross and tried it finished. He's living for believers to cleanse us from defilement and preserve us from the power of shame in this godless, dirty world, however the world. How about the world? How about the world? Now will you look at the thing? There are certain things, as most of you know, that a kind of God's intimate understanding must deal with us, or that lose its standing at an assembly. And there's three different stages of them that I'm not going to mention now. But in the world gets into a believer's heart, and it gets into his home, and it defiles the people of God, the overseers can't do anything. That is of no authority to a discipline, but to have authority to admonish you. And that's not done as often as you should. And for why? Because many times the overseers are talking to See, that's the subtle, seductive thing about the world. Get into your head. Get into your heart. Get into your hope. And there's no harm in it. I hit that remark. Now hit, with all the power that is it, English language behind it, I hit that word. There's no harm in it. And it's alive, sir. There is harm in it. Now we come to the defining passion. By some of these means, I remark, did you come on three? Oh, but he, you know, he, you mustn't interfere with him. He's a good man. He's a fighter. Now come on, we say Leviticus 10:1b. And quickly. 10:1. Lady Benabi, you fell down dead. That's again, they sit on the desk. So in the Old Testament. Sermon number 16. Sermon number 46. They haven't come on, people to have a lot of trash. And to read a lot of notes here. They've come to cook to you from God's book which you believe. And although they are two sons of Aaron, God's high priest, and Aaron the good man, both neither than ever you fell down dead, open your Bible. At the bit of it, 1:10, 1, while I read. And the shuffling of the leaves of your Bible would an only in the least it's good music, far better than the organ. I doubt, my dear brother, we'll have to get no water. I certainly don't like dry preaching. If I can't convince you, my brother and sister, that I have your spiritual welfare at heart, I may sit down, but you know that I have. You know me too well, Father. And if I can let one believer, number two, brother or sister, even some of you that have no love for me, I'll be delighted to do it by myself by day. Why? Because you belong to Christ. That's the standard. Because you belong to Christ. Maybe whenever you fell down there at the bottom, just like that. Why? What did they do? Well, I don't want to use the language some brother needs about a bit of a term for the simple reason they have no proof for what they say. And I'm not going to work on speculation. You get plenty of people to do that without me beginning. But whatever the cause was, there's one thing sure. They heard him. Do you run into the morning meeting? Oh, that's fine for you, that's fine. Do you run into the morning meeting? Where were you Saturday afternoon? Where were you Saturday night? Surely, my dear brethren and sisters in Christ, let me speak to you as plainly now. Surely you don't defile your soul, gaping at TV, and go and sit down at the Lord's table. If you do, God will you. I speak definitely, you know I always do that, but the God that knows my heart knows I speak plainly to you, and it's profound hypocrisy. To ask God to save your family, so you will soon the road to heaven. first. We take them to so many people. What you ought to do. We show them the road to hell, to heaven every all day.
You do.
And show them the road to hell every all day in a week. I didn't intend to do this with brethren. I'll do it that way. You should not have it. You have it. You have made a mistake. You have wasted God's money by me. Now you are wasting God's time with me. Now you have set a bad example to other believers that you're stumbling through sinners down to heaven. That's all I'm going to say about it now. The word seems that say much more to me excited and the grief to know that many of God's people were carried off of it like a flood type for this miserable business that ought not to be in a Christian world. So then, we'll cleanse the person on the third day and in between on the seventh day. If he's not cleansed on the third day, then he's not clean on the seventh day, he's still defiled. That's the young thing happen. Some of you look very rough at me. And if I'm defiled by that, I can't do any else, only defile other people. And the silent spread that represents. The next thing, God would have finished soon, I hope. And the next thing is, I decided to tent. Now that's where I live. I decided to tent, that's where I live. And I don't mind who comes to our door, nobody's going to stay. I'm not going to run hide anything. I'm not going to hide. And finally, I've not yet attained to perfection. You'll come and welcome to search my home, but I tell you that too. That's a fair bargain, isn't it? And if you wish, you can search my pocket. But I tell you that. Now, for the final time. My dear brethren and sisters in Christ in our beloved North of Ireland, God knows the Lord. It's there I've spent all my life practically, at least all since the day I got saved. It's there I intend only so far as I know. William God's name, and for the Lord Jesus Christ, go in for the salvation of your family. Let the cost be what it may. Let the family in bondage. There's some bondage people here. I was preaching there, and I said to the man who was staying up, right in front of me at the Lord's table sat a woman, and five of her family, and a husband, yes. So I said, enough when you see that. And he shook his head, he's a witness. He said, no. See, that's one of the best women in bondage. Whenever a cell of meeting comes along, she gets the children around her, and she says, boys and girls, no more of the text unto make no. Do you think the living God owes that woman anything? No. Everyone on time, baptized, gather around her at the Lord's table, going for the salvation for all the world. Put your children's salvation before their education, rather than damnation. That's better than weeping for them, than a bell in the cup. That's how you go. Now I have to clarify this tomorrow, I'm with this one. There may be a good godly woman in that little home. I know lots of them in their heart. And I've often said it in private to my heavenly heart. And in public, and I'm going to say it to you, that I really would be afraid to live if all God's people stop praying for me, but for Jesus and God. It's your prayers that keep me going. And I'm satisfied that at the judgment seat of Christ, a lot of old men and women in the north of Ireland, rheumatics, paralytics, asthmatics, will get more for what they call my work of the judgment seat of Christ than I will get. And I'll be glad to see them. That's strong talk, too. Well, that woman, her husband, she can't help that. Why should have got the ungodly for her husband? She can't help that.
So be careful your language up here.
You can't blame that woman for that. She can't stop his mouth.
And you have to be careful.
Or on the other hand, maybe I should have said it before, I say it now. Maybe that dear woman hates TV, but the man's already. Or the family, the case may be.
There she is. She can't help that. You mustn't blame that woman.
Or the rest of it. It may be a good man. An ungodly woman. But I'll come on in there.
See, can we make remarks like that with the strong, plain, personal conscience?
Then we ought to be able to clarify them as we go along. Again, a good man and woman may be both saved by the grace of God.
Did you never learn that your baptism counts you dead?
Who knows what he was?
Now, after the defiled home comes the defiled sanctuary. Oh, tabernacle, the assembly.
And send you in God's assembly among brethren. You are in the only place that has any authority in the Holy Scripture.
Under the Spirit of God and the Word of God brought you there, it never took away from it.
And he said, you made a mistake. But he did. Quickly get back. A dear man away up outside Melbourne, an Irish man. I went up there for meeting. It's only 500 miles up the road. And I saw this dear man waiting. And while I love sinners and saints, I love Irish life. Quietly, because an Irish man's up. And he came and he said, Brother Nelson, I speak to you. You know me, suffering. There are some people in the meeting know him, but I'm not going to tell you. He wept so. I said, tell me, my dear brother, what is the matter? You know I'll help you if I can to be frank. I know that. Today I'm away from God. My that goes to my heart. I'm away from God. What peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet the memory still. But they have left an aching void. The world can never fill. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest, I hate the sin that made me mourn, and drove thee from my breast. Why would you let me get back to thee? God knows I will. Are you willing to confess your sin? I will. He had a lot to do with commercial travelling, and then he went out for a drink, and that's the devil's darling device. And he went away. His wife was saved, but never had been baptized or in the meeting, and she certainly no hand to her. They both had come to the meeting. I said, Baron, he is a dear brother, he's broken down and broken up. I'm not going to deal with you as a preacher. I never interfere in assembly matters, and a preacher no right to do it. But I always help them if they desire me, and I shall do. I said, Brother, don't be hard. And two or three more Englishmen spoke of it and said, no, we'll not be hard. So it was a joy and a pleasure to see that woman getting up back. And both of them back again at the Lord's table. You can consider that what you like. I'm not the least concerned about what you can. But I consider that well worth while of a 12,000-mile journey to get a brother and sister to soul to Christ. I said, that's the testament I said. Here's what I want you to know. I said, now your idea, brother, I read a little scripture every day to the other. Have you any children? Just one little boy. How old are they? 4 years. I said, be sure I'm getting down with you. He did that. I said, how are you getting on? He said, getting on well. I'm really enjoying the Bible book. I was in a hurry. I slept in the other night. And I was in a hurry out in the morning. And there was a girl through the door, and a little boy come after me. Hey, Daddy, you didn't play with this one. Man, thank God for that. That's an impression on that little boy that he never did. Do you play with your children? No. Then you are not a good parent. That is surviving that they are not men and women. suffered away from you, and that they will be out of the reach of your children and hold fair with them. And I never forget. Now we come to the defining factor. Sunday. Who defined it? Why the people that are doing the week? Why the people that are playing in the world on Saturday afternoon? The people that was playing with the fence of the world. What about the world sports? What about the world pictures? Can you go down and ask God to bless that? No, you can't. You don't. You have a different country. Very good, then. It's just anything that you can for it, it's time it was out. Look after your home, no matter what you say. And do it for the glory of God. Now then, I'll finish with this command. That down at the end of the chapter, the man who absolutely refused. It's not he rejected brethren, but he rejected to the chance. He wouldn't have, he wouldn't do it. Very good, then. Just him and go on for it. Have you ever said that to you, dear brethren? You may quarrel with your brethren, you may defy your brethren, but don't forget that you and God to reckon at the judgment seat of Christ. It's easy to throw your head in the air, you know, with a naive mankind, and I don't give that for you nor your son, you will come. And listen, we hear little about the judgment seat of Christ nowadays. The wise sat here, no, not in this hall, in another hall. What a years ago, and several are two of our preachers preaching on the judgment seat of Christ. They're both gone to heaven long ago. Why do we not hear more of that? You can get it. So thank you. And this man of you, who won't have the cleansing power of the ashes of the heifer and the water, who won't have it, come off! Brethren, you can't play tricks on the living God. Don't try. I be your sister in Christ, you can't play tricks on the living God, don't you? He said that fool must die, and he did that. Don't use any sentimental language here. He's cut off my death, as I say, as a man in 1 John 5:16. John 15:2. Acts chapter 5, 1, 2, 3, 15 to 11. We're putting away, that are in that. You know what that means, just leave me rest here. God bless his holy word. Who too? To me first. Are you selfish? I'm very selfish. When it comes, the spirit of man. Because me, O God, John 16, 1. And in that chance, you get 24 personal pronouns. He's very selfish, righteous soul. What about his souls and his? And just other fellowship to touch the kingdom of God and get in and get time and get time from hell. So the believer should seek first his physical condition of the day that he is. I let those talk with Jesus, I would smooth the rugged way. How it truly helps my onward when I sink beneath the roof. When the heart is crushed with sorrow and the eyes with tears are dim, does not can help the onward like a little talk. I often feel impatient and I'm only long delayed. I never can be settled while either name's away. But we shall not long depart, for I know we'll quickly come. Then we'll dwell together in that happy, happy home. Ah, this is what I'm wanting, his blessed face to see, and I'm not ashamed to say it, for I know he's wanting me. He gave himself a ransom to make me all his own, and he can't forget his promise to me, purchased. And he answers me, oh, sweetly. I wish I could give you a testimony. He answers me, oh, sweetly, in tones of tenderest love. I'm coming soon to take thee to my happy home above them, in my father's grave, for many mansions be. I sweetly talk with Jesus, and he talks with me.